The reason I took out this particular sheet from Eiv, basically it's one pasuk that I'm interested in, that the Mefarshim are being mazir. And the point of this, of the beginning of this shiur, because I want to go back to what we were doing, one of the members of our group here, who I don't think is here right now, but he was here last time, sent me a note, and he asked me the following question. Is it necessary to personify the Yetzer Hara as an entity outside of us? Because that's what he thought I was doing in the previous year. Why don't we say that these are our natural instincts? And I wrote back to him that Lahefech, my impression was that I was making very clear that what the Goyin is talking about is dafka instincts that are inside of us. But the Goyin divides them into the koichos hanefesh of ta'avoni v'ka'asoni. And the ta'avoni, he says, comes from birth. And these are the natural instincts of the basic animal inside of us that makes us shove it to all the breeds in the world. The desire to eat, the desire to reproduce, the desire to acquire things on some level is a very fundamental natural instinct. And want to put everything into your mouth. So this notion of possessing and having, protecting yourself, these are all natural instincts. The Koyach HaKa'asoni is also a natural instinct, but it's a more sophisticated instinct, which I was suggesting, as the Goyin says, it comes later, is an exclusively human characteristic. But both the Ta'avoni and the Ka'asoni are inherent to the personality. But at the same time, I did not want to leave you with the impression that in Yiddishkeit, in our Hashkofas Olam, there is no such thing as an external force to incline us to evil. There is no, you might say everything is our natural instinct. This is not so. And it's not a part of our Hashkofa to imagine that it's exclusively within us. Now, what is the proof? So there are many, many examples, and I could have given you reams and reams of paper with raya upon raya upon raya. But there is such a thing as a satan. And a satan and the Yetzer Hara are really two phrases that are used, two expressions that are used to distinguish between what goes on internally and is part of our basic makeup, and our avoda in that sense is to fight our own instincts and to organize ourselves and our passions. L'avodas ha'vayre. And that's what it says above the pasuk on Kriya Shema. You have to eat Hashem l'okecha b'chol avob, chuchol nafshu, chuchol miyodecha. So Chazal told us, b'shnei yitzarecha, b'yitzah ha'toiv, u'b'yitzah ha'ra. It means that we are supposed to use some of those base instincts for the positive, because they can be converted and taken to the positive of Avodas Hashem, hagam, that in their fundamental sense, they are forces that take us away from Avodas Hashem. But we can co-opt them. We can steal them. And we can take advantage of them to provide greater Kiddush Hashem, to provide greater Avodas Hashem. We can use the Yetzer Hara as well. However, the Shnei Yitzarecha within us is not painting the entire picture. The picture to be full requires that we should acknowledge that there's an external force as well. And the phrase or the term that we use for the internal is Yetzer. Ki Yetzer leiv ha'adam ra min urav. And then there's Yetzer tov and there's Yetzer ra. That's the internal force, that's our basic instincts, and we're not externalizing them and we're not making them into personalities of their own. This is just, we call it the Yetzer Hara says, the Yetzer Hara does, but what we mean, of course, is that within us there are these forces. But there is something called the Satan. And the Satan is already an external being. A Malach. Now how do we know this? How do we know this? So I'm giving you one of the many Mekairos right here. And I just wanted to dwell upon it a little bit before we go back to the Bir HaGra of last time. Iyov begins Ish Hayah Be'eretz Utz, and you know very well that Ish Hayah Be'eretz Utz, what does it mean? Ish Hayah Be'eretz Utz. There was a man. So there's Chelukei Deos in Chazal, whether the Sefer is talking about a real person, and the story that the Torah, this Ksuvim Sefer in Tanakh, Chav Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, describes was a real story, was a real event. Or it's a mashal, like Haya v'loy Nivra Ella mashal hu. And so it's maybe appropriate that we should do some of this if we're learning Mishlei mashal hu. But the pasuk begins Ish Haya be'eretz Utz Iyov Shmai. V'Haya Ish Ahu Tam v'Yosha v'Yirei Elokim v'Sameira. Very extraordinary person. V'Yivod Eloy Shiva Banim v'Shalosh Banos. He even had a perfect proportion: 7 boys and 3 girls. So an extremely wealthy person who had every possible hatzlacha, and in spite of all of that, and together with all of that, maybe because of all of that, he's an ishtav yosha v'yireli. Lochu vana v'yosu mishte beis ish yoymai, v'shochu v'koru l'shloshes ach yaseyim lechov l'shtes imayim. This, by the way, is the source for what? For what minhag that we have ad hayom. Not that everybody does it, but we make a Misha Berach for such people twice a year. What am I talking about? Bahab. Beis Hei Beis. Monday, Thursday, and Monday following that Thursday, in the months of Iyar, and in the month of Cheshvan, Ma'cheshvan, these are the months that follow the Amim Tovim, respectively, of Pesach and Sukkot. The Mefarshim explain what was the reason for these fast days. Not too many people fast on these fast days, but we make a Misha Berach for them the Shabbos before. And the reason that is given in the Mefarshim is because since on the Yomim Tovim we eat and we drink, maybe it was to excess, maybe we did things that we were not supposed to do or say things we were not supposed to say. So there's a Kapara fast day in Koim Karbonis. Where do you have this idea? The answer is from Iyov. They used to have these great celebrations, and Iyov was concerned that his children, during these celebrations, maybe they got drunk and they cursed the Ribbono Shel Olam. So to be mechaper on them, he would be makriv karbonos. It goes to show what kind of a tzaddik he was and what concerns he had for the covet of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this was his want, this was his habit all the years. Now, this is the background of what kind of person he was. The Pasuk Vav begins, Vayi Hayoim. It happened to be on a certain day, Vayavo Bnei Ha'alehim, or Bnei Ha'alehim, depending upon how you explain it, but these are Malachim. V'syatzev Al Hashem, Vayavoi Gam HaSotan B'Socham. You see clearly that the Pasuk describes a Satan. The Satan has a personality, and the Satan is in dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Satan is definitely external to Iyov. It's not Iyov's personality. Pasha Pshat. Vayoyma Hashem el HaSatan. Mayayin Tovay, where are you coming from? Vayayin HaSatan es Hashem, Vayoyma Mishut Ba'aretz U'Mishalich Ba'ar. I'm traveling the length and breadth of the world. I'm looking for customers. Vayoyma Hashem el HaSatan hasamto libcha al avdi Iyov, ki ein kamayu ba'aretz ish tam v'yosho yirei lekim v'sar meira. It sounds almost like the Ribbono Shel Olam is so proud of him that he says, you know, you've been trying to mess everybody up. Did you notice who Iyov is? Did you realize how much Iyov resists you? So, Vayan HaSatan el Hashem vayoyma hachinam yarei v'lekim. What do you mean? You think that Iyov is God-fearing in spite of all of his tzaras, in spite of all of his akmas nefeshen? The man is living the life of Riley. He is having so much benefit. So it's not l'shem shamayim. Sie nicht mit dem ganzen Herzen. That's the Sotten's Taina. He says, and you think it's hard for such a person to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He has everything at his disposal. Alts geht gut. You know what it reminds me of? The Chazon Ish, in his essay, Emuno Bitochen, he writes about Bitochen. And he writes about people who are mitzapzefei Bitochen, people that Bitochen is always on their lips. Ah, Baruch Hashem, thank God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of me in this, he took care of me in that. You know why he says? Because Bitochen is good to him. He's living well. He has Hatzlocha. He talks about a person that has a store, and everybody buys from the store, and he's doing extremely well, and all of a sudden, he's Bitochen, Bitochen, Bitochen. Was macht der Yid? He says, was mach ich? Ah, the Eibishter is so good, it's so wonderful. I have Bitochen in Hashem, and he rewards me. Then one day, somebody puts up a sign that in this corner, across the street from him, another fellow is opening up a store just like him. And all of a sudden, and he shows how the development of the antagonism and the animosity and the corruption of his spirit to the point where he's ready to kill. And all this is because he's threatened by somebody. What happened to your bitachon all of a sudden? He says he's there mitzafzefei bitachon. There's a people who chirp, who sing bitachon. The song of bitachon is on their lips, but they really don't have bitachon. So the Sotan said the same thing about Eiv. He says, did you ever test him? Did you ever challenge him? Did you ever put a stumbling block in his way? Avada has bitachon, Avada he's good, Avada he's makriv karbonis. Why shouldn't he be makriv karbonis? Look how many behemoths he gave him, so he's makriv a few karbonis. Big deal. So this is the lashon, that's all lying in the lashon of the Sotan. Hashem says, Hasam to libcha bayana sotan Hashem machinom yirei levelikim haloi ato sakto bado yivat beiso yivat kolar shaloi misaviv masayada beirakto umikneyu paratz baharetz. Hey, mama, she has seven, look at that proportion, seven sons and three girls. It's not even the other way around. Alts geht mamish vigishmit. Sakto libayna shalolam. Oh, one more pasuk. V'ulam shlachno yodcho v'ga v'chol asher loy im loy al panecho yivorecheko. Go touch him and you'll see how everything changes. He's not the tzaddik that you imagine he is. It's an amazing thing, this dialogue. But the Sotan is this external being who's fighting against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assessment and evaluation of Eiv, and he says, nishna zayim. Zakta the Banish of Yom Hashem al Sotan, he nay kala shaloi biyotcha, rak eilo valtishlach yodecha. You're not allowed to kill him. Vayetzi asotan mayim pnei Hashem, and he goes to do his work, and the rest is history, as they say. Whether it's real or emotional is not nageya. But it's crystal clear that the entire description here is of a sotan that's external. We were talking about your comments yesterday, and I pointed out before you came that there's no question that everything that the Gaon wrote about Tavoni and Kasoni are 100% internal forces inside the person. And there's no Havamina to suggest otherwise. And when we speak about the Yetzer Hara is doing this against you and the Yetzer Hara is doing that against you, that's just a way of speaking. But what it really means is that the forces within us, our natural instincts, are all a jumble of forces that are need to be sorted and separated out and channeled. And that's what we mean by the Shnei Yitzarechot, you can be Oved as Hashem. But there is nevertheless an external entity. So take a look at the Mefarshim. Yeah. Vahi b'yoyim v'didino v'rei shata. The Targum Yonason is masbir to us that the day that they're talking about, it says in the Pasuk, Vahi hayoyim. Vahi Ayoim normally means it doesn't matter what day it was, there was a certain day that the whole chain of events started to take place because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a dialogue with the Sotan. But what does the Targum Yonason say? Hayoim means with a Hey Hayadiyah, the day, meaning Rosh Hashon. Vahi Ayoim, the Yoima de Dina, it was the day of judgment. Berei Shata, the Osu Kite Malachayo Le Mekoyim Bedina Kodam Hashem, they came to the place of judgment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to stand up Bedin Lefnei Hashem, and the Osi Luchud Satano Bemitzayon, and the Satan came separately and individually to be amongst them. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like has a cheshbon with the satan, sounds like it's separate. Mazunda, that says l'choit. Zok Rashi, Vahi ha-yoyim oisa yoyim ha-yoroish ha-shona. Shehu yoyim trua v'tziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu la-satan lovi z'chutz v'choiva shal kol ha-brias. And that's what it means, Mishut Ha'aretz, that he went around the length and the breadth and collected all the people's z'chuyos and all the negatives that he had to say about them. And that's why we know it's Rosh Hashanah. So he is the one who comes to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about all the chesroinos of the human beings on the Yom HaDin. The Heaven Ezra. Hagoyin Rabbi Saadia Omar. Ki HaSotan Ben Odom Hayu Mekani Be'iyoiv. Upirish ba'aretz ba'artzai levadai. Upirish kola shalo biyotcha b'cheftzacha. V'kamohu hayad iyoiv itach. Upirish achas nafsha shmur. Shmur nafshacha shaloi tevakesh nafsha. So he says that Reb Saadia Gaon interprets that the Satan was a person. And he was jealous of Iyoiv. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to this enemy of Iyoiv, did you ever see somebody like Iyoiv? And he says everything is biyotcha. Very interesting. The Eben Ezra says there's so many psukim that speak about a satan. How could you say that the satan is a person and that it's specific and unique to this particular sefer? And he says furthermore, to be mazbir the soid, the hidden meaning and interpretation of these things, it's not enough to write, there's no paper to write how much there is to talk about it. V'amevin soid ma'arochis atzvois. V'ishtanis ha'maisim v'ishtanis atznuis. Yeda Iker Hasotan Vaklau Shahu Malach. The Tava Yayoim Rosh Hashanah Shekobne Oilam Ivrim Lifne Ashkina Kivne Marain. Like we say in the Nasana, Taikev quoting from the Mishnah, O Yoim Dino Shal Iev Levadai, Vloy Uchal Lefarish. O Yea Pirusha Vahia Yoim Shira Baikach Vakach, Moy Vahia Yoim Vayavar Elisha. So Yorfis Tup Shatim, the ones we said before, Vahia Yoim, he says either it was Rosh Hashanah or equivalent, the specific din of Iev, whatever day that was supposed to be. Or Vahia Yoim means it just happened to be on a certain day. Like Vahia Yoim Vayavar Elisha doesn't mean a particular day. It says, you know, it's like a way of introducing the story. But in any case, what does the Eben Ezra suggest? That in spite of Reb Saadia Gaon's interpretation, he insists that the Satan indeed is a Malach. In the Metzudas, you also have that there's a Malach, and take a look at the Malbim. Vahi ayoyim. Kvar be'er harambam ki kol harois ben klolios ben protios ein boyin rak mitzad ha-choymer. Kol ha-gashmiyim ha-hoivim. Choymer means material. In other words, material, the matter of the elements of the earth. We are all made of carbon and oxygen and earth and stone. You know, this is the material of the earth. Our cells are made up of matter. Kol ha-gashmi ma'ayvim va'nisodim va'yasigei ma'efseid rak mitzad ha-choymer. The fact that we deteriorate, that we disintegrate, is only because we are made of matter. Otherwise we would exist forever. The spiritual exists forever. That's what he's saying. Avu mitzad atzuro, b'chinas etzem atzuro, lo yasigem hefsig, rak heim oimdim. Oimdim here means they last forever. Omnam yasig ahefsig litzuro b'mikra. In other words, when there is spiritual that's connected to physical, so if the physical dissipates, so the spiritual can go with it. Very fascinating, because we know in science that things can transform themselves into other things, but slowly but surely everything dissipates. That's entropy.
Adam says a varav mitivam v'chein chushas bulvasa yoy bitulam oy bulbulam ein hefresh bein hayoyz kolzeh mitchilas hayitzira mischadish olav achakach ein ze kulo nimshach rak acha choymer shaloy hanipsad loy acha tzurasay. He says that the fact that the person has his neshama inside of him does not change the fact that his body can deteriorate, and it doesn't matter whether that's the way he was born or whether he deteriorated subsequently. Every living thing eventually dies. V'yechle becomes sick. So he learns that the Rambam holds that the person's taibas and instincts are the ones that mess him up, and that his neshama basically would always do the right thing. And there's this constant struggle between the koichos inside of a person to do good, and that is forever, and the koichos of the teva that inside of him that pull him down. He says, Lamashal Hasagasa is Bayrai, Vitsiarai, Kol Muskal, Vinhigota Voisov, the Kasai, the Stakle Mashitsarh Livkarbai, Uba Mashitsarh Larakakai, Kolzanim Shokimachatsurasai. All the positives of a person that he recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he acknowledges his responsibility to Hashem, and that he has to control all of his instincts. This is all from the higher aspects of the person that has nothing to do with his chaymer. Avo macholov, umishtov, umishgolov, all of his physical things, roiv tavoysa by vekasa, you claim midara, shetimtsa by everything negative that you find in him, hakol nimshachacha chaymer. Al pizeh, siper kibnei elohim, sheheim hakoichos hanimtsoim b'chol habriya, sheim bonov umaisa yodov, bol isyatsev al Hashem. He says that the Rambam teaches that the concept of Bnei Elohim here means it's a mashal, and it's a reference to the instincts of a person. And he says, the koichos hanimtsoim b'chol briya, bol isyatsev al Hashem, shimitzatshu Hashem, mahave umamtsi kol mitzius, isyatsvu Bnei Elohim v'akoichos kulamai, he says the concept of the Bnei Elohim standing before Hashem, according to the Rambam, is a marshal to the idea that the Ribbono Shel'olam preserves the reality of every moment, as we say in our tefillah, Mechadish betuvo b'chol yom tomid ma'aseh b'reishis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly replenishing the existence of the world. And if he would stop that for a minute, the world would go to tohu. So it's not just that he created the world once upon a time, but that he's recreating the world on a constant basis. And when it says here, by Yisyatzmu, that they stood before Hashem, it means that Hashem is renegotiating all living aspects, all of life, constantly. So that's how he learns Shemitzachu Hashem, Mahave, creating Umamtsi and producing Kol HaMetzius, Yisyatzu Bnei Elohim V'Koichos Kulomai, Kikiyum HaMetzius Briya Masmedes, the Siper, Kigam HaSotn, Shehu Koach HaHeder, Mekor Hara, V'Hefzeh V'Chet, V'Chobitu V'Nezek, V'Besoichom. And he says that included in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu replenishes and recreates are all the negative forces inside of the person as well. In other words, when the person is constantly being recreated, his positive koichos and his negative koichos are being replenished. And that is the imagery in Eiv, according to the Rambam, of Bnei Elohim getting together and the Satan is Besaicham. Satan representing the negative forces of the person, and the Bnei Elohim representing the positive. Kuvar Be'er HaMoire, Shloi Omar, Vayavo Bnei Elohim V'Asotn L'Isyatzev, it doesn't say that they came together. She'ozo Yamashma Shemitziyu Shneim Hu'al Erech Echad V'Yichus Echad. Because then it would sound like they're all equal. Rak Omar She'bo B'Saychon, Ki'ilu Hu Lo'i Bo Be'etzen V'Rishoynu L'Isyatzev Al Hashem, Ki'hu Ein Lo'i Shoyrish Be'Havayu Rak Be'edev V'Hafsid. He says the reason, since the whole thing is a mashal to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly replenishes the koichos of every human being and of all living things, and since he explained that there are negatives which constantly deteriorate and they cause all of the negatives inside of the person, even in his emotions and his taivas, and all of that eventually reduces and gets deteriorates and eventually dies. It says that koyach that's represented by the satan is not on a par with the positive koyachas that are represented by the tzuras adam, what he calls by his neshama, by his koyachas hatoyiv, which are forever. So therefore, it's not appropriate that you should say that they all came together like in one chadgadia, in one happy collection. So he says, first comes the visas of bnei elohim, because that's forever. And then, afterwards, and separately, comes the negative koichos, and all of this is being recreated and replenished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all from the Rambam. He says, Rak sheba b'soichom, acha shehu tnai livnei elohim atachtonim, ratzoloima l'koichos hachomriyim, because the satan is a representation of all of the physical and negative koichos inside of the person. Sheloi timtza havayo b'bali achomrim nivli heder, koidim lo, shepoishe tzura v'loivish tzura. He says, all of physical nature has different manifestations, all in the process of deterioration. So here we get into this complication. The Malbim is telling us that every koyach inside the person and every koyach in nature has a force in heaven called a Maluch, which is Memuna on this particular Nakuda, and he quotes the Chazal that says that there isn't a blade of grass that a Maluch isn't Memuna love that says you should grow. And this, he also quotes the Chazal, and that's what complicates matters, that says that the three terms that we have, one of them being the Satan, the second one being the Yetzer Hara, and the third one being the Maluch HaMavis, are all the same entity. So he learns that that means that this is the force, that negative force, the malach that's memuna on the forces in nature that cause deterioration and eventually death. And he regards, based on this Rambam, that all of the negative forces inside of us are also part and parcel of that whole picture of negativity, deterioration, and death. That's satan, yetzahara, Malach HaMavis. Now, we have, therefore, you might almost say, a threefold picture. One of them, that Satan is a person, and that the Eben Ezra speaks very strongly against. The other one, that Satan and Yetzer Hara are almost the same, because we're speaking about the koichos that represent our natural instincts. So the natural instincts themselves are called Yetzer Hara, and the koichos memuna aleihem are called the satan, but it's essentially the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu replenishes, and therefore he has these malochim ki'ilu giving life force to the negative koichos inside of us. And then finally there's the shita that holds that simply a satan is a maloch, and he's a maloch like we understand the maloch, and he's memuna to mess people up and to challenge people, and he's the tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to create nesyonos for people and to be mekatrig against them in the Bez Din Shel Maloch. It's a very complicated tapestry. And when we start looking further and further into the Makaris and the Mefarshim, so as the Eben Ezra says, Lo Yekile Masefer, it's almost impossible to contain it in one volume. Suffice it to say, and this is what I want to go back with, this is what I want to end up with, that the most fundamental approach, and I would say the majority of Mefarshim, is that the satan is in fact an external entity, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a dialogue with the satan to mess up Eiv and to challenge him and to see what happens then. And the nisayon of Eiv is to live up to his koyches hanefesh and to his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in spite of everything that the Satan throws at him. So the Satan's force is not something inside of Eiv. The Satan here is an external force that tries to undermine Eiv and Eiv's resolve and Eiv's commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Satan says, what proof is there of Eiv's Yiras Shamayim if everything is always going good for him and if you're rewarding him so well? But the Yetzer Hara that we speak about all the time, and we speak about the Koyach HaKasoni and Koyach HaTavoni, those are the Koyachos HaNefesh themselves that are inside of us. Now you understand very well that every single person, never mind Eiv, every single person has the capacity to be generous, to be good, to be kind, to be helpful, but it's infinitely easier when someone is in a good mood, when someone is in a positive matzav, and it's much, much harder, to the point sometimes where it feels almost impossible, when someone is in a difficult situation. A person who loses his job that day, and the boss told him, you're fired, when he comes home, and his wife gives him soup. So the soup is the same soup like it was yesterday. The same contents and the same temperature. And he's going to tell her, the soup, I can't stand it, it's too cold. Or the soup, I ate it yesterday, why didn't you give it to me again today? Or the soup, you tell me, beans, 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 I'm not interested in beans anymore, why don't you make a little chicken soup during the week? So what is the soup? It's not the soup and it's not the wife, it's the boss. But he can't kill his boss. So he kills the wife. The person gets a raise, he comes back, again it's the same soup. And he says, ah, you don't know how much I love this soup. I can eat the same soup day after day. And you got it just right. How did you get it just right? Mamish, it's the perfect temperature, not too hot and not too cold. So what's the difference? Now, the Teretz is because he got a raise. So the whole inyan with his wife is not nageyat his wife at all. It's a person's capacity. Is definitely a function of how life is treating him. The same koichus hanefesh can go in both directions. It all depends on his matzav ruach. When a person has a moment of depression, he doesn't want to get out of bed, he thinks the whole world is against him, he gets paranoid, he thinks that he'll never amount to anything, he thinks that he'll never accomplish anything in life, and everything is painted black. The person is in a positive mood, and he's the opposite of depressed, he has euphoria. So everything is good, even when it's not. And everything is okay, and everything is wonderful, and he feels like going out into the street and hugging every person that he sees. That is the peculiarity of our koichis hanefesh, that they have this incredible flexibility. So the Satan says to Eiv, I'm going to get you, and then we'll see how you respond with your koichis hanefesh. So that's the idea that I wanted to share with you, that the Etzem, even if the Satan is an external force, in the final analysis, it's all up to us. But what's thrown at us by the Satan is, I would almost use the expression siyata d'shmai. What do I mean? I mentioned this many times. I had two Talmidim 1 year after the other. It was an unbelievable thing. They both went to the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael after my Shia. They left our Yeshiva and they went off to learn for another year in Eretz Yisrael. They had been in Eretz Yisrael earlier and they were so enamored with learning that they decided, no, I'm going back to Eretz Yisrael again, and they went to the Mir Yeshiva. Both of them were Balei Kishrei. Both of them had a big hasmada. Both of them loved to learn. And both of them, l'chaira, were likely to succeed more or less the same. One of them is still in the Mir Yeshiva, and the other one came back in the middle of the year. The one that's there, he came, and he couldn't find the Chavrusa. Couldn't find the Chavrusa. The one that left after half a year found the Chavrusa right away. It didn't click. It didn't work. The one who couldn't find the Chavrusa sat there for 3 weeks without a Chavrusa, and he was going out of his mind. Kenishlanon on a chavrusa, especially everybody else that has a chavrusa. Once in a while, yechidei sgula, they learn by themselves. Vayhi hayoyim, like it says here in the pasuk, it happened a certain day that the best bocher in the yeshiva came out, lost his chavrusa. The fellow Nebuch became sick or something, and he had to go home. He left the yeshiva, and this fellow now is without a chavrusa. He's the best, but everybody's paired up. Except for this one fellow, for 3 weeks without a chavrusa, comes over to him and says, I see you're learning by yourself. Maybe you want to learn with me? And the rest is history. Both come with the same resolve, both come with the same intentions, both come with the same kishrinus, both come with the same capacity in learning, both come with the same desire to learn. What happened? Yitakuk, what happened? And I had such akmas nefesh and such tzar for the fellow who came back. Baruch Hashem, he's not what he could have been. No. Because he could have become a gadol b'Torah. But he's a very chashuv fellow. He's a fine balabas. He's kaveitim la'Torah in a very serious way. He learns a few hours a day for sure. Be'iyun. He's a wonderful boy. He raised a beautiful family. He has now, Baruch Hashem, 3 or 4 children. In terms of his own desire in Torah, it was not what it was, what it became. Why not? So that's also part of the inyan of Sutton. The Siyata Deshmaya and the Sutton, they're almost mirror images of themselves. Sutton says, let's put a stumbling block and see what happens. And Siyata Deshmaya says, take away the stumbling block. And that's in a Meiridik Ezach. When we all daven for Hatzlocha, davening in learning, in Yira Shamayim, everybody asks the question, what are you davening for? Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mi Yira Shamayim. That's up to you. What are you davening? In fact, I have to tell you an interesting story. I say this over all the time. When I was a little boy, I believe it was before Bar Mitzvah, maybe it was right before, right after, but I was a youngster. My father, Zalzayin Gesunden Stark, he always felt I wasn't learning enough. So if it was 10 hours a day, it had to be 12. If it was 12, it had to be 14, as I does. So he hired tutors for me, paid fortunes of money. I remember Reb Shaya Shimonovitz, a gadol b'Torah, with the Rebbe in Yankif Yosef. I mean, why he picked him b'davka? You see, today we're more sophisticated. You take a kid, you put it together with Reb Shaya Shimonovitz, you know, no matter how bright the kid is. But he knew he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Anyhow, he lived in Williamsburg. We lived on the west side. Paid him a fortune to come Motzei Shabbos to learn with me. Motzei Shabbos. There was nobody in the west side. No, Reb Shaya Shimonovitz. God be fair. Anyhow, there was a person who lived there on Shabbos. He can't import anybody from another neighborhood. But there was a young man that learned in Lakewood, and he lived across the street, and he hired him that he should learn with me. He hired him to learn with me on Shabbos. We learned Friday night, we learned Shabbos day. He wanted me to learn Mamash around the clock, 24 hours. The kitzah comes to me, this younger man, he was a bocher still, and he says to me, you know, I have an opportunity for you to get a bracha from a Aaron Kotler, Zichron Livracha. He's Masada Kedusha, and I was invited to the Chasna. I'm going to take you with me for the Chuppah. We'll go over after the Chuppah and we'll get a bracha for you. Oh, was I excited. A bracha from the Gadol HaDor. Unbelievable. You know, I was at that time a Talmud in Yeshiva, Rabbi Yankov Yosef, and the Rosh Yeshiva, with Mendel Kravitz, Zichron Livracha, was the Talmud Muvak of Rav Aaron. So I heard about Rav Aaron many, many times. And in fact, we used to go to daven with Rav Aaron on Yom Kippur for several years. You could imagine the difference between the Lakewood of then and the Lakewood of today. You're talking about 50 years ago. Yeah. Anyhow, because I was very excited, Rav Aaron. So I come in and I got myself dressed up and he brings me over and I'm waiting for the bracha of the century. And he brings me over and he says, listen, my name is Talmud, and the Rosh Yeshiva should please give him a bracha. And the Rosh Yeshiva's bracha was 3 words, and I thought I was going to pass out. Zol snol launan, you should only learn. And I come home and I'm saying, that's a bracha. First of all, it wasn't even a lotion of a bracha. The Eibishter should give you this, the Eibishter should give you that. What do you mean, Zol snol launan? That's a sivui, that's a command. And that it says in the Torah. What does it mean, Zol snol launan? And I was sorely disappointed. I was so disappointed and frustrated. To the hall. I couldn't understand it. Then I found out later that the Brisker Rav used to give the same. People used to come to Trabracha and learning, and used to say the same thing. The Slon and the Stoizvax. Because Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mir Shamayim. There's no such thing as getting a bracha and then putting your feet up on the table and letting by osmosis the Torah enter inside of you, and you should know Baba Kama, Baba Tzir, Baba Basra. There's only one way to get. It's not just Carnegie Hall, you understand. If it's Carnegie Hall, then multiply that by 1,000. The only way to get to Baba Kama, Baba Tzir, Baba Basra is by Chazorah and Chazorah and by Limud and Chazorah and Chazorah and more Chazorah. However, you need siyata d'shmaya. Siyata d'shmaya is different than brachas and gashmias. In gashmias, the hishtadlus is a facade. The whole thing comes from Hashem. Parnasa, all the other aspects of gashmias. Shidduchim comes from Hashem. May Hashem isha maskolas. But in ruchnias, it's you. But Hashem can help you, Chas v'shalom the satan kilu can hinder you. And that's the point that's happening with the yod. So I wanted to clarify this nakuda for you, that you should understand that there is indeed an external force that can put a stumbling block in the way, that can test us, that can challenge us, that can demand of us a higher level of avoda, because the level that we are on is maybe not sufficient, and in that sense, the satan might even be sometimes a positive force. But the positive force expresses itself in a negativity. He puts the stumbling block, because whenever we speak about a nisayon, the nisayon is from the word nes. Nes means something that is a banner, that is headlines. Nes means that the whole world discovers that this person is bigger than he thought he was, and or that we thought he was. And that's all the nisayonis of Avraham Avinu, v'chulu. So that's the nisayon of Iyov as well. And of course the whole Sefer Iyov is a result of that nisayon. I wanted to emphasize something that the Alshich says. This Alshich is a foundational Alshich that tells us a gewaldige yesod. And it's a yesod that's expressed in the many sparim in its own way, but I wanted to say something about it. A little more ba'arichus. And the posuk b'ni im yifatucha chatoim. Yeah. Im yifatucha chatoim al toivei. The kosher, he writes, what does the posuk say? If sinners are going to seduce you to do averus. So he wants to know, how is that possible? How could a sinner ever get to you? He says, Heich sal kedaitach lishmaya lidivrei chatoyim shehutzrich lahazir al zeh. He says, somebody walks in, and he says, I'm a murderer, and I want you to join me. So is a single one of us going to join up with him? Person comes in and says, I'm a gazlan. I like to rob little old ladies. I like to mug them. But I need a henchman. I need a companion. So is anybody going to join? So that's what the Alshich's question is. If you're talking about people who are tzaddikim or make believe that they're tzaddikim, but it says yifatucha chatoyim. So he says, what's the chat? So he says as follows: the tirets, the vaday ein hayetzer hara mesis ha'odom la'averos. He says that first of all, we're not talking about an external person that's coming to ask you to join his band. This is a marshal. And the marshal is about the Yetzer Hara inside of a person. And he says the Yetzer Hara can rarely say, kill somebody, rob somebody. Because we are sufficiently reinforced to be able to resist such a blatant and a gross avera, such as Ritzicha or Gezel. So what does he do? He seduces us. And he says, Rak nesame einov, he blinds his eyes, v'nichnas imoy b'sheilois u'tshuvois ad shema aviroi al daitoi v'daz koinoi. In the end, he becomes himself lost and he loses his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Valkena Eitza Hatova Hishalo Yishma Elov Klal, Val Yukonasim Bidvarim. You see the Eitzahar is coming after you? Stop him, cut him off at the pass, he says, before he has a chance to blind you and to seduce you. It's a very interesting point. This is the Vart. It's a tremendous Vart. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim in Sefer Dvarim. The pasuk says, Loi sate mishpat, loi sakir ponim, v'loi sikat shayfa. The Ribbono Shlom warns us against Dayonim, against three terrible Averis. You are not allowed to tilt the scales of justice artificially in favor of somebody. You're not allowed to show preferential treatment to any of the litigants. And you are not allowed to take bribes. Those are three separate nekudas. To tilt the scales of justice, or sate mishpat, not to show preferential treatment to somebody because maybe he's wealthy and the other one is poor, or sakir ponim, and you're not allowed to take bribes. The Torah, for some reason, feels compelled to explain the last point and not the other two. The first two points don't need explanation. The third one needs an explanation. It seems to me that the easiest thing to understand is you're not supposed to take bribes. That's the most fundamental, maybe, that people do all the time. But the problem is not understanding what's wrong. People have tithes for money, and they see an opportunity, so they are corrupt enough to ignore what's wrong. But the problem is not understanding what's wrong. We understand what's wrong. No, the Torah says, I have to explain this one to you. I don't have to explain the other two, but this one I have to explain. And the end of the pasuk says, Ki ha-shoichat ya'aver einei chachamim, v'yisaleif divrei tzadikim. Because shoichat will blind the wise, and will corrupt their words, their thoughts, their psak. Why does it have to explain something that's so obvious? And if it is in need of explanation, why are the other two not in need of explanation? Why do the other two not have also their Pirush Rashi? Why is that Mishpat? Because Mishpat has to be straight. Has to be blind justice. It has to be justice that is universal, that is equal, that treats everybody the same. You're not allowed to show preferential treatment because the other fellow will have a Chalisha Sadas and he will not bring the Rayas that he should bring and he won't bring the witnesses that he should bring. Because the poor person says, what chance do I have? Look how he's treating the rich man. Why doesn't the Torah explain all of that? Because it's self-explanatory. So what's the problem with shochad, with bribes, that it's not self-explanatory? So the pasuk tells us, a meridika yisayid. And this yisayid, you have to understand. The pasuk begins, shoiftim v'shoitrim titin l'cha b'chol sharecha. And all the Bali Musa have already said that even though it's talking about judges and courts of justice, courts of law, but they deem him, but the same thing, each person has in him a court of justice. And each person has in him a judge. You can call him the Yetzer Tov, you can call him whatever you want. But he's a judge that decides what my next step will be, what my next move will be, how I evaluate something, how I react to something, and that is the Shoiftim v'Shoitrim. And it's interesting, there are Shoiftim, judges, and there are also Shoitrim. What are Shoitrim? Police. Each person needs police inside of him also. Because sometimes the Shoifet says you shouldn't do it, but you're still going to do it. So it has to be somebody that closes the gate and says, you're not going out of here. You're not doing it. That's all inside of a person. So the Torah says to a judge and to the person who judges himself, don't take a bribe. You know why? Because the bribe is unique in one respect. You don't chap after you took the bribe that you are corrupt. That's what he says. If I take $1 million from a company and I tell the examiner, the inspector, don't look at the concrete with such a, you know, too carefully. It'll last 1,000 years. So there's two kinds of corruption, and I think that's the mashal. A person can come and say, the bridge is surely going to collapse, but it's not going to be in my lifetime. What do I care? Meanwhile, I got the $1 million. This person is an evil person, extremely evil. But he's taking shochad, and he's as clear as a bell. What do I mean clear as a bell? He knows the consequences of the shochad. He understands that the shochad makes him paskin, that this bridge is going to collapse. And afo pikein, since nobody knows about it, and nobody will know about it for 50 years, he's okay with that because he's evil and corrupt. For that, you do not need an explanation in the Torah. Ki ha-shoichad ya'aveh enechachon. But a person comes and he calls in the inspector and he says, let me ask you a question. What is the statistical likelihood of the bridge collapsing if we don't make concrete with such a composition which costs X amount of dollars, but we make it with a little bit less, which costs substantially less? So they said, well, you know, it's not that clear. I have to do some studies. You do that. And come back to me tomorrow. Comes back to him tomorrow and he says, well, it's 99% that nothing will ever happen if you do it the right way. Of course, that's very expensive. If you do it the other way, maybe 75%. I mean, 75% nothing's going to happen? That's pretty good, 75%. I walk in the street at 75%. I get up in the morning at 75%. 75% is a big number. That's the Ashrechad Ya'aber Enechachon. And the same thing, this marshal is just a marshal for a thousand things like that. People first want to be good in their own eyes. And the shaykhad is that I remain smelling like a rose. And I took the money anyhow. Now money is not the only shaykhad. Shaykhad is all kinds of things. I want to get the job. I write in the resume, Zachar was an nishgishtoig and nishgishloig. There's one person that's cynical and callous and spiteful, and there are wonderful people who have real resumes lined up, and he manufactures sheker v'chaz of the kavana, and he writes it with malice aforethought. That is another form of shaykhat, so to speak. He wants the job, but it's not a question of being blind. He's crystal clear, clear as a bell, as I said. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's a Rosh HaMerusha. And he asks him, I'm a Rosh HaMerusha, I want the job. Then there's a person that says, you know, that guy, the one who finished from Harvard, he comes from a family that's loaded. I never had a chance. I come from a poor family. I had to take this mail order course. I know my stuff, but nobody's going to pay any attention to this resume. So I'm going to write that I came from Harvard too. And I'll get the job. Shaykhat. Is he doing anything wrong? No. He's only making an equilibrium. He's only correcting a wrong. He's only making it so that the person who shouldn't have a chance has a chance. And after all, he concludes, isn't the Ribbono Shel Olam with the Aniyim and the Marei Nefesh? Don't we say at the end of the Yitlucha, by this time his eyes are tearing and he's getting very nostalgic, he's even putting on a garpel. And So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that little edge that he stays with them and helps them, so I can't help myself a little bit, I'm sure the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't mind at all. So he writes down that he went to Harvard and that he got a PhD. Most people do not want to acknowledge that they are chaytim and poshim. This is what the Al-Sheikh is saying. The reason that the Pasuk has to give an explanation is not for the gross violation of shaykhad. Nobody has any problems with what's wrong with loisate mishpat. Nobody has any problems with what's wrong with loisate yirponim. Preferential treatment is preferential treatment. Everyone understands the consequences of that. And if it's gross shaykhad, I'm taking the money and I'm messing up the guy's life. I'm taking the money and I'm destroying the bridge and everybody that crashes from it. and v'chulu v'chulu, that you don't need an explanation for. What you need an explanation for is for the person who takes the shochad and says, I'm going to do it right anyhow, and I kapara on that guy. I'm going to show him. I'll take his money. Or the person that says, I'm going to take his money, but it doesn't have anything to do with justice. Just, I'll do it faster, I'll do it sooner. But he thinks whatever the chips fall, that's how it's going to come out. And if this fellow gave me the money, I even told him that. I said, I'm taking the money, but I'm not telling you, I'm not throwing the game. I'm not throwing the game. If my people win, they win. But the night before, I'll make sure that they party till 4 o'clock in the morning and get shikr like anything. And that by the time the game is in the afternoon, the next day, they'll be oiskin mujit. Understand? But he's not throwing the game. He's not telling his players, he's not telling the boxer, don't fight back. I just put a little thing in his juice, you know, that he should be a little bit like to tumult. That's ki ashoichad ya'ave eini chachom. The person then justifies justification. Oy, what a kayach. The kayach of justification is noyavoy. A person is supposed to go to shul in the morning. A kleinikite, a small little thing. Supposed to go to shul in the morning. He doesn't. Why doesn't he go to shul in the morning? Because the night before, at a bissel zu viel gepat at the zeit. He wasted his time. He went to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he can't get up. What's the first thing? I have a tremendous headache. I feel a little sick in my throat. What? You made a mistake. You stayed up late. You missed davening again. Nah. I can't just miss davening because it's not becoming for me. I always have to smell like a rose. The Mayridik Zachas, it says, Hevei Donis Kol Adam Lekav Schuz. Why didn't it ever say Hevei Donis Atzmach Lekav Schuz? Because we don't need a recommendation for that from the Torah. We spend our whole lives doing that. The amazing thing is that as adept as we are at doing it for ourselves, that's how we don't know how to do it for somebody else. Tell it because see a guy coming late. What's up? Is he coming late? You ever ask yourself that? What's up? Is he coming late? No, I'm coming late because. Could be this, could be that, could be whatever. Same thing. Person that ends up his whole life and he didn't learn very much. Oi, Parnassa. What a thing Parnassa is. What a debilitating, nefarious enemy Parnassa is to learning. But Parnassa. In a Hanami, it's a struggle. But that's a terrence. So why did you say it so fast? Because I don't want to say I failed. I don't want to say that my life was worthless. I don't want to say that I messed up and I wasted and squandered the most precious commodity of all, time. Chmilnish. That's what the Al Sheikh is saying. Bini in Yifatucha Chatoyim Al Toive does not mean that he walks into the door, whether it's an external person or your Yetzer Hara inside of you, makes no difference. Nobody walks in and says, be a criminal, violate the Torah, destroy something that's good. It's the subtle little things. And it's where you start, and then it becomes what they call a slippery slope. A person, very interesting, I asked somebody, and I'll finish with this, because we don't have... I asked somebody who came to me, and he was crying, that he watches terrible things on the internet. So I asked him a simple question. I said, obviously, you're very much bizarre. You're not one of these wanton criminals that, you know, you just, with abandon, decided that you don't care about the Ribbono Shel Olam and his Torah. How does it happen? You're sitting down, and what you're doing, I imagine, is you're reading the New York Times online. That's what you're doing. He says, Rebbe, you're so right. That's exactly what I was doing. So I said, so what happened? He said, listen to this. He describes to me a matzav. He says, the New York Times has advertisements. I mean, that's what he's telling me. It has advertisements. One of the advertisements is for like a Macy's or a Chaisa, you know, such a department store. So I don't know why, but I clicked on that department store. The department store has apparel, men, women, babies, chickens, I don't know, whoever's wearing things, apparel. And I don't know why, but I pressed women. And he's mastered to me, may inyan le inyan, how he ended up in the worst possible sense. It was a pellet to think about it. But chazak, a person who's a chayte, he goes, turns on the internet, and he goes to the pornographic site. A person who's not a chayte, the etzem, how do you get him over there? How do you get him over there? Somebody would ask him, turn on the pornographic site. He says, what? I should go turn on a pornographic site. So what happened to you? The parrot says, ki ha-shoychad ya'ave e'nechachom. And that's what he says, ma'viroi al-dai toiva al-da'as koinoi. You know, there's an amazing parallel to this. In the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Metzora, when he speaks about Lashon Hara. And just to make a long story short, because it's a long Rambam, but the Rambam first describes how the Rebbein Shlomo was so against Miriam, and how Miriam is not your classic example of Lashon Hara, because there are 100 mitigating factors that it's not so bad what Miriam did. And Afal Pikena, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes her an example to teach you the nefarious nature of Lashon Hara. But what is the nefarious nature of Lashon Hara? L'chaira, that I'm messing somebody up. Because it has a way of getting to people and you ruin their reputation. You know what the Rambam says? Far beyond that. In the end, you lose your emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You become a kofer be'ikar. Somebody says to himself, well, I'm not talking, I'm saying that this guy, he's a scoundrel, or he's not a Shabbat Shabbos, or he's a this, or he's a that, whatever. How do I end up being a kofer be'ikar? That's the koyach of the Yetzer. Hayoyim oimoloi aseikach, ulamocha oimoloi aseikach, until finally he has you by the throat, and he can make you do anything. But that's because ki ha-shoychad ya'aveh eni chachom. And that's exactly what the Alshik says. The tirets, the fadai, ein ha-yetzer hora, mesis ha-odom la-aveiros, rak, misame, einov, he blinds his eyes, v'nichnas imoi b'sheilois u'tshuvois, ad, shema'aviroi al-taitoi, v'daskoi. It's unbelievable. So when a person knows that that's the case, what is his only weapon of defense? That he gets off the train at the first stop. That's what he says. In Cain, ha'etza ha'toyva hi shala yishma elav klau va'al yikone simay bedvarim. Right? And that's what the pasuk says. Al-toyva she'tekev toymar eineni roitze. What's al-toyva? Don't want. I'll tell you, they don't want to go with them. What does it mean? Don't say, don't go with them. No, don't want to go with them. In other words, you get off the first stop. Don't even want to go with them. Shetoymar, eineni roitzel lishmoya klal.